We're going now to South Sudan. A civil war has displaced millions of people in the country, forcing them to leave their homes. NPR's Jason Beaubien has been reporting from South Sudan, along with our Kelly McEvers.
And we start in a place that used to be the country's second largest city, Bentiu. Now it's a wasteland.
We just drove by there and on the other side of the road and down there a little bit. I mean, there's just like entire graveyards full of burnt out cars.
This is not how things were supposed to go for South Sudan. Back in 2011, there was huge hope for this place. Mostly Christian South Sudan had broken away from the predominantly Arab Muslim North and became the newest country in the world. But then in 2013, civil war broke out inside South Sudan. Since then, tens of thousands of people have been killed, and more than 2 million people have had to leave their homes. NPR's Jason Beaubien and I have been reporting in South Sudan, and we found that now many people here are either living in massive refugee camps or they're on the move, looking for food. Here's Jason.
There's trash everywhere, and those shipping containers that look like they were sort of burned out over there.
People living under trees. It's kind of just a big dirt yard with fires burning and trash and people.
Fighting during the Civil War flattened a lot of the city, Bentiu. The place we're walking is one of the few places that still has some buildings standing. It used to be a tuberculosis hospital, and then it was used as a base for soldiers, and now a few hundred civilians are camped out in the abandoned buildings in a big open field.
And people obviously don't have very many belongings at all. Yeah, I think these are people who've been walking for quite a while with just the last few possessions they grabbed before they fled.
Yalon Gatoy fled here from a place called Mayom County. She says it took her and a group of about a dozen women and children 4 days to walk to this place.
But can you ask her specifically, did she come here for food or did she come here to get away from violence?
They came here for hunger.
How did they used to eat? What did they eat before?
They ate water lilies and fruit, Gatoy says, because that's all they could collect. After the Civil War got underway, people's fields were burnt and they couldn't plant crops. Once the water lilies ran out, she says, they were out of food completely. And so they came here.
Do they think they will go back home to Mayom sometime?
If there's no food, we will not go back and we will be staying here in Bentiu.
They will stay here in Bentiu, she says. But the problem is, if they do stay, they'll be living on someone else's land. The land of the people who already fled from this town and who might come back again. And they'll be living in a place that hardly has anything.
There is now a health clinic in town. Doctors Without Borders shut down during the worst of the fighting and has recently reopened a bare bones operation. Eureka Small heads that clinic, where they treat people with malaria and malnutrition. She says there are no latrines in Bentiu. We saw human waste all up and down the streets. And she says there's hardly any clean water.
There is some water points, some working water points, but a lot of people still collect water from the river. Yeah, and electricity, there's no electricity at all.
Obviously, you're dealing with health, but for food, where do most people get their food? Are most people dependent on food aid who are here?
Yes. Everybody is.
And that's not just here in Bentiu, but in much of the rest of South Sudan, too. Humanitarian groups say 3 million South Sudanese, or roughly a third of the population, is now dependent on international food aid to survive.
Many of the people who used to live in Bentiu now live down the road in a massive UN Protection of Civilians site. They're not officially called refugee camps here. The POC is like a big square city on a desolate plain, surrounded by razor wire and guarded by UN troops. More than 120,000 people rely on international aid groups for water and monthly food rations, sorghum, lentils, cooking oil, and iodized salt that are hauled to people's shacks and wheelbarrows.
Inside the camp, we meet 26-year-old Tavisa Nolowak. She lives with her two kids and extended family in a reed and tarp shack. She says life is tough in the camp. In her view, this isn't even South Sudan. Before this, she says she was living comfortably in her own house. She says she and her children go out of the camp every day to collect firewood to sell. If they don't do that, she says, the children would starve.
We take a tour of the main market in the camp, where there is some fish and meat for sale, but it's expensive. Little barber shops are clearly the cool place to hang out. We're walking around with Stefania Poggi, who heads the Doctors Without Borders hospital inside the camp. She and Jason say the place almost feels like a city, not a camp.
I'm just saying it's amazing. It's just turned into like a regular African market in there. Yeah, like you'd see in a lot of places.
Yes, but here we are in between four walls, and that's the main difference.
Meaning people can't really leave the camp until there's food and security back at home and until the political situation in South Sudan is stable again.
Some people say that will have to wait until a peace deal to end the civil war that was signed back in August is implemented. Other people say it will take even longer than that. In Bentiu, South Sudan, I'm Kelly McEvers.
And I'm Jason Beaubien.